You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
your life. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to the weather was accommodating for you to do it. And of course, if it wasn't, you did it anyway. That's right. Because yes, that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we have much love and respect for you. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on podcast programs. Click on that. The first one you see will be African Perspectives. Click on that, and the drop down you'll see all the programs that are dated and entitled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m., from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Mississippi on the Move from 7 to 8 on Thursday. Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 to 9, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Also, too, you can use the shortcut, babaoshi.net, whatever search engine you use, Internet Explorer, Firefox, whatever. Time for an Awakening. Put in the search, babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani. And I look forward to talking with him soon and see how the upcoming trip went and, of course, the latest trips that he has on schedule.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
And I know that he corrected that date problem, so that's cool. So the next trip is July 11th to the 23rd to Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azania. April 4th to April 14th, Kenya. May 24th to June 6th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, Brazil. And those are the trips upcoming for Africa for the Africans.org. And, of course, you can go. I'm not sure if the pictures from this past trip is up or not. I don't know. But, of course,
he puts them up right away. And so you can see pictures of previous tours when you go to facebook.com/Bomani. Or you can see videos of previous tours when you go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. youtube.com/Bomani2007. And, of course, you can give the brother a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans.org. Habeshaw. Habeshawincorporated.org. And, of course, Habeshaw, the brothers and sisters at Habeshaw have just doing the great work, whether it's here in the Atlanta community or at the Kashi Project in Ghana. They're doing great work. The Habeshaw Works Program. Black to our roots, sustainable seeds, golden growers, and the urban green jobs. These are a number of programs that they have that they do things in the community with, particularly involving the youth. It's so dynamic. It's a great program. Habeshawincorporated.org. The Minister of Wellness. What did I forget? Oh. Man, I forgot. Okay, I'll just go ahead with the Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. He's in Kenya at this time, doing great work. And, of course, if you go to his website, theministerofwellness.com, there's a free ebook that you can sign up to get. And, of course, the new product that he has, and the Minister of Wellness. And then Smile Pharmacy, Brother Jabril and his lovely wife, and you can give them a call. Go to Smai Pharmacy, SmaiFarmacy, SmaiPharmacy.com. Or give them a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smai Pharmacy. Or drop an email at smaifarmacy@gmail.com, smaifarmacy@gmail.com. So the LEDGE program I didn't have up here, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics, the LEDGE program. Brothers and sisters, go to theledge.com and find out more about what those brothers and sisters are doing on the continent. Okay, theledgegroup.com. Moses West and the Moses West Foundation. We develop and implement atmospheric water generator. That's the AWG technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene, washing solutions and water solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. That's the mission. Okay, to provide safe water access. Our programs are focused on schools, children, rural communities across the United States and abroad. Sanitation and hygiene. Join us, and together we can abolish global water poverty one community at a time. And, of course, their water exceeds the EPA and WHO water, World Health Organization. That's the WHO. The World Health Organization water qualities, helping impoverished communities gain access to clean, safe drinking water and hygiene education. Reduce carbon footprint by generating large volumes of water from the air where it is needed. We cut transport emissions, advancing our mission for a greener planet. I'm telling you, so many benefits. Once again, it's not the solution, but it is part of a overall solution, because climate change is real. There are many things that are drying up because of the climate change. But one thing is for sure, we know, because Moses West has proven it, that water is all around us. The H2O molecule is all around us. So, yes. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End. Of course, on Saturday and Sunday, they sell vegan dishes at Wadada's. They have dry goods there. They have all kind of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna and the West End Mall. So, Wadada's, 878 Ralph Dibbert Abernathy Boulevard. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, and so much more. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. This past couple of days ago, I didn't even know it, but just found out she had Brother Kaba Kamathi, doing a presentation, books, yes, and I was told, man, he had a great crowd because he has the ability to do it downstairs at the mall right by her shop, right by the bookstore, and had a great crowd, so I'm happy for that. Yep, Mama Nia, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore, in fact, that's where I got the information from, was the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, and Brother Gazemde Jamu in Lithonia. Yeah, we were supposed to have a presentation done yesterday by Baba Baruti, but this pollen and so forth got to my brother, and he was unable to do it. But it was good to talk with Brother Gazemde Jamu and some other brothers that showed up. And he was telling me about Brother Kamathi and the crowd that they had there, and that's cool. And of course, Mama Nia will be having a presentation here this month on her expansion of Let the Circle Be Unbroken. Book's just coming out again, Let the Circle Be Unbroken. And that's going to be the 28th? That's right, it's going to be the 28th. The 28th of April. Let the Circle Be Unbroken, the 28th of April. And unfortunately, I'll be gone. I won't be at the presentation, unfortunately, because I know it's going to be outstanding. Yeah, I'll tell you. Let the Circle Be Unbroken. That's going to be at the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia. Give my good brother Gazemia Jamu a call at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. There's light in the Black Dot. And, of course, being out that way, I stopped in at the new Black Wall Street Market. And they're hanging on. And I say that respectfully. You know, I do, because I wanted to succeed. I really do. I want it to flourish. In fact, I want it to be something that is, but that requires us. Granted, if you have something and you get broad-based support, by that I mean Latinos, Caucasians, everybody, Asians will come there and support it. That's one thing. But the reality is this. If it is us, then it is us that must support it. If it is us. And unfortunately, we're not coming out in the numbers. In the numbers that we support. They have some programs upcoming, and I hope they will get a lot of people to respond to those programs. Because, you know, they have a number of areas that they built in there. I mean, just really cool. It's, all kinds of space. They really do. So, brothers and sisters, the new Black Wall Street Market. Although my good brother Afroletics, he's doing well. It was good to see him and talk with him, and because he's the one that has the athletic wear with African-centered an African, you know, like the Dogon Starseed, the Olmecs, the Moors, the Harus, the Rebels, the Zulus. Yeah, I mean, beautiful, well-designed, you know, well-crafted African athletic wear. So check him out at the new Black Wall Street Market. Cafe. Not Cafe Ulu. Just Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us. They have their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night for Us Lifting Us on Blog Talk Radio from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/ULU. There's a number they have, a call-in number, that you can call in to listen or give your questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Today's Monday, so Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop is not open. They're open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And they got so much. That brother B just stacked so much in that area, man. He's got books. He's got postcards. He's got pictures. He's got furniture. He's got clothes. He even has a vegan restaurant. You know, you name it, he's got it. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall at Booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essential, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Aiti's. Sister Gabriella Aurelia, Sister Gabby, has been doing great work and continues to do so in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Go to the website, Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay-Haiti.org. Yes. Like I said, Baba Broody was not feeling well and unfortunately didn't have the presentation from Dr. Amos Wilson's book. So I'm quite sure he'll do something again. You know, he always does. He's a warrior, man. He is a warrior and a prolific writer and educator. So if you want to support Baba Broody at Akabin Institute, go to PayPal. Go to PayPal. YahBaruti@yahoo.com. YahBaruti@yahoo.com. If you want to use Cash App, $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and you can make donations that way. Also, too, you can support him by buying the books at AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. He is a prolific writer. Yes. A prolific writer. And of course, he has two volumes of the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 14th. I am African first. I am black first. I want what's good for me and my people first. And if my survival means your total destruction, then so be it. Sister Soulja. Yeah, she said it on that Phil Donahue, The Issue is Race piece. In fact, that was the first time I'd seen Cornel West was on that particular piece. I went him to Cornel West and he got dusted. Sister Soulja slammed him. Sister Soulja and Brother Daruba Ben Wahan was the African Senate people. And then, of course, the mayor, Sharon Pratt Dixon, and some other folks. Tony Brown from Tony Brown's Journal that Phil Donahue had there. of course, the old Jewish man. Got to have the old Jewish man. So, in fact, go to YouTube if you want to see it. You know, it's from the, I'm going to say the 80s, if not the early 90s. And go to YouTube and Phil Donahue and then put in the issue is race or Sister Soldier or whatever, okay? And check it out. It's worth it, believe me. African warriors know Yorugu. They know and practice what it means to be African. They have no fear of Yorugu. They have no fear of any enemy. They know that all of Yorugu are enemy. They know that they know what has been and continues to be done to our people. They understand genocide. They are beyond simple anger. They know our story and therefore are eternally righteously enraged. They are karma, and they are here to collect blood debts. They would not be caught dead in bed with Yorugu. They do not sleep with the enemy, for they know that this is treason against our ancestors. They do not procreate with genetic recessives. They see no beauty in images in deficient color. Well, sometimes, you know, you see a word, but you be trying, you know, we got to get it out. They see no beauty in images of deficient color. They live far beyond the monochrome reality. They need nothing from Yorugu. They own their own appetites. They sustain themselves without Yorugu. They only seek complementarity commitments with those who also know Yorugu. They rear their children to know Yorugu. They know that whether yesterday, today, or tomorrow, Yorugu is Yorugu. They know that Yorugu and evil are synonymous. They know that all Yorugu are one. All Yorugu are one. Ashe. Affirm, I am African first, and other issues with that is either that's their problem. I am African first, and others' issues with that, that's their problem. April 15th. Far from fading away, it appears that prisons are here to stay. And despite the unprecedented levels of incarceration in American African community, the civil rights community is oddly quiet. Michelle Alexander. But do not confuse this fact or the quietness of those individuals who are not officially associated with any civil rights initiatives with this mentality being unique or odd among the majority of Africans. Civil rights organizations are just the most visible rubber stamping mouthpieces, the tip of the menticidal iceberg, so to speak. Any who are assimilated into a visible, validated, influential status in this system are apparatus designed by Yorugu's nature to criminalize us, are handpicked or created as needed. This is a highly selective process. It is only integrates those of us who have been dumbed down to the degree that they will be patriotic to Yorugu's genocidal process against us, who consider it a privilege to serve against us. It will only invite and initiate those who truly believe that it can be changed while remaining the same. In other words, only those who have no desire to truly change what exists, reformists, and have little to no sense of accountability to the African people as a nation, are invited to offices of influence. Yes. Or rather, confluence with those who would destroy us. Warriors do not believe in the flexibility of Yorugu. Do not expose the truth, and nothing but the whole truth is to lie. And if you compromise what you say to speak the truth, then what you say is not the truth. Affirm, I am vocal about the immorality of the prison system. Affirm, I am vocal about the immorality of the prison system. Yeah, the prison system. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. I say. Yes, I want to thank Brother Kamathi, Brother Ayo Kamathi, for this past Friday's program. Yeah. And it's just a fantastic program. Really a fantastic program. And man, just so much information. Sometimes 2 hours is not enough. But we got it in. And I hope for those who listened, you know, and it's up already. If you go to timeforanawakening.com, when you, at the top of the page, when you see podcast programs, click on that. When you see the drop down, the first one you see is African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be the program with Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie, on Jews are the problem. And of course, the United Snakes are deeply and solely aligned with these European Jews. So, it is what it is, family. It is what it is. I know that one of the things that Brother Ayo has hit me to is a brother who's running for president in South Africa, Brother Ricardo Marmon. He's going to be my guest on Wednesday, and I'm trying to get in hold of him so we can have a little conversation prior to the program airing on this Wednesday. I look forward to this program, Brother Ricardo Marmon. Yes. Mm-hmm. South Africa. You know, that I think being a staunch, serious Pan-Africanist, I don't want to see nobody but Africans in Africa. And I don't give a damn. North, south, east, and west. I don't want to see them Arabs with their ass in North Africa. I don't want to see the Germans in Namibia. I don't want to see the Indians in Uganda. I don't want to see the crackers in South Africa. I don't want to see the Israelis, the European Jews in South Africa dominating the diamond industry. I don't want to see none of that. I want to see the change coming into being, coming into existence before I expire. That's what I want to see if I had that wish. That's what I would love to see. So, on Wednesday, I look forward to a guest on Wednesday. I know that, you know, one of the things that if you've heard me, I've always said about identity and how do we identify, you know. I've read from Baba Baruti's book, Identity, and all the issues that entails. And I know that that we must identify, at least as far as I am concerned, family, as Africans. We're not black. You know, Dr. John Henry Clark says, when you talk about a people, you must conjure up land, history and culture. That's why we're not black. We're African. Land, history, and culture. Now, when we talk about Africa and you use the word Kemet, and of course, that's what they call themselves, Kemet. They didn't call themselves Egypt. Egypt came with the takeover of the Greeks, the Ptolemies. Egypt is a Greek word. I don't use it. I don't use anything that's foreign. I don't use anything that is not indigenous to Africa. So, no, it's not Egypt. It's Kemet. And Kemet means land of the blacks. Now, of course, there's that scene with Denzel portraying Stephen Biko, and the Caucasian judge. Why do you call yourselves black? You're not black. You're more brown than black. And he's, Stephen Biko says, why do you call yourselves white? You're more pink than white. Yeah, shut his ass up. Yeah. But how do we identify? And should we identify as being black? Now, this article I'm going to read says that we should identify as being black. Now, of course, when he said you're more brown than black, but there's certain parts of the continent where people are black. Their skin is deeply melanated. And I'm quite sure if you, I don't know, shouldn't say it like that, but I know that because of the algorithms, if you have a lot of black stuff on your Facebook, you know, you're going to sometimes get some of that, some of those people, some of those brothers and sisters, beautiful. Oh man, they can present some beautiful sisters with sable skin, beautiful, flawless. So I mean, you know, yes. But beyond the color, because we're African, you know, we span the spectrum of light, bright, and damn near white. To blue black, we span that spectrum. But what we are African. So do you identify with being African? Well, of course, way back when you were ashamed to be African, and it's still that way today, let's be real. And this, many of us don't want to identify with being black too. That's real. Imitation of Life. Not the ones with Lana Turner in the 50s. And what's the sister's name? Well, anyway, not that one. The one before that with Beavers. And Freddie Washington. Freddie Washington played her daughter. Freddie Washington looked Caucasian, but she identified with being, well, if you identify with being the color of the time, you were colored. Identify with being colored or Negro. Which, of course, come the 60s, particularly the mid-60s, not even the early 60s, because in the early 60s, you still had processes. you might fight somebody who said you was black, but the mid-60s, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. And of course, if somebody has other information. It's rescue me if I'm wrong. Rescue me if I'm wrong. But it was the mid-60s. But you were black. And one thing that we have never really truly embraced is the fact that we are African. And that's what we push here on this platform. We're African, wherever you are. My good friend, Brother Paul. Brother Paul is in the UK, United Kingdom, England, British. You're a British African. I'm here in the U.S. I'm an American African. Africa is the noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. The noun is a person, place, or thing. There's a word that goes in front of the noun, which is a prefix, and that describes the noun. That describes the noun. So if I'm in Puerto Rico, I'm Puerto Rican African. I'm Jamaican African. I'm Brazilian African. I'm Nigerian African. Ghanaian African. Cameroonian African. Namibian African. British African. Italian African. French African. Africa is the noun. That's who we are. I know, because a lot of us don't want to deal with that. I mean, we really, unfortunately, don't. But that's the fact. That is the reality. So this article, yes, it is important to say and identify as black, you know. You know, the thing is, we're talking about culture. There's African culture. I don't know about black culture. You know, that's just describing a color. And of course, as I just stated, we span the whole spectrum of the color range, from light, bright, and damn near white to blue black. The whole spectrum. Can we call ourselves black or truly speak of black people? Why have so many people with black skin chosen this color as an element of identity? When do we start calling or defining ourselves as black? What is the relevance of this identity orientation still today and its place for the future? This is what this article will answer. Well, let's go off into the article and see if we can answer that. It shows a group of pictures of Africans in various countries, you know. They show Uganda, the Yoruba, the Nigerian, Benin, Angola, the African Colombians, the American Africans. We see here cultural traits that we find in all blacks of African origin. The joy of living and the spiritual connected to musical vibrations. It is the African environment and ma'at, that is said that the philosophy of all Africa, which have generated these cultural traits. Africa, the Nile Valley. Contrary to what many may believe, so-called black identity does not begin with how others view us during the trafficking and the colonization. Even Africans already identify themselves as black at the time of ancient pharaohs, of the time of ancient Kemet. Our ancestors from the Nile Valley used the root word Kem, Kam, Kam, which means charred, cooked, burned, black, which is equivalent to Kama or Karma, Kam, which means the same thing in many current African languages. the ancient Kemetic people, it says the ancient Egyptians, they weren't, I mean, Egypt does not become what, with that word and Egyptians, until the Greeks, the Ptolemies. The ancient Kemetic people made their skin color the most central element of their identity. They called their country Kemet, the black land, the black country, or Kemenu, the country of those who are black. They called themselves Kemi or Kemet, meaning black people. For what? Most certainly, we have to explain because of the sacredness of the sun in African spirituality. The sun being the messenger of God. The sun giving black skin to the Kemetic people. Then their color was the mark of divine on them. And this skin color was seen as highly positive and sacred, hence the representation of God and deities in black. The deities were black. Amon, the only god of African represented here, is the male from the temple of Hatshepsut. Amon Ra. Ra, the rays of the sun. You cannot be in the sun. Like, there's a Moses piece out on streaming, and I checked it out, and even though they still, in ancient Kemet, all the people look Caucasian or Arab or whatever, look Caucasian. Because I would venture to say Arabs don't identify, I don't give a damn how dark they were. They don't identify with being black. That was just like the Sudanese. I am not kidding. Not the South Sudan. The Sudanese did not identify with being black. They identified with being Arab. And Arabs don't identify with being black. Ramesses was the supposed pharaoh that encountered Moses. You know, I've often said this. You know, and this has been the response of those who are Christian, is the fact that reason why you don't see any Medunecher or what the Greeks called hieroglyphs, the reason why you don't see any Medunecher of Moses, the plagues, all the things that happened, because they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed that these things happened to them. That the people who they had enslaved, who were building whatever they were building, had them enslaved. And had them enslaved for how many years? 400 years. That's us, ain't it? That's us. 16, 19. It's still. And so, during Ramesses' life and time as the king or pharaoh, he was on a mission. That's for damn sure. He was a great builder. If anybody has gone to Kemet, I think that if you do go to Kemet, you got to go south. And of course, the south you go, the darker it is. You got to go south. You got to go to Abu Simbel. You got to go. And Abu Simbel, where it is today, was not where it was in ancient times. Because in ancient times, that temple was designed that twice a year, it lined up perfectly where the sun would rise and penetrate through that temple and illuminate the shrine, the holies of holies. It would do that. It would do that. Well, when they made the Aswan Dam, before they flooded all that area, they cut up Abu Simbel, put it into a side of a mountain. That's an engineering feat. I always use this as a marker of what an engineering feat it is. But I often say, what is the true engineering feat? That they cut it up and put it back together in the side of a mountain with all the equipment and all the things that they could do? Or when they built it, when they built it initially, because they didn't add anything or take anything away from what Abu Simbel was, the imagery, the four statues of Ramesses sitting. They didn't, but what it did at the time that they built it initially, they lined it so the sun twice a year would illuminate the Holy of Holies. I tell you. So I watched again, and of course, all of the people in Moses was Caucasian looking, not even Arab looking. They just cannot do it, family. Although his wife, you could tell she was African. Light-skinned somewhat, but still, you could tell that she was African. And of course, in the story, that's who Zephra it was. She was African. You know, House of Jethro. She was African. Man. This way of thinking and conceiving of oneness essentially disappeared at the end of the Nile Valley civilization. From now on, we're only black when others look at us. In late antiquity, the Greek word Ethiopian, meaning burnt face, was used by Europeans to designate all black people. Then will come the Romans, then came the Romans, manure, meaning black. The Arabs, for their part, would use the word Sudan, which also means black. Imperial Africa and European captivity. During the imperial age, chiefdoms, kingdoms, empires, and are formed throughout Africa in those times. Africans only refer to themselves in relationship to their ethnic nation and their religions, which when it came to Islam or Christianity, and of course African religions, Aminis, for its part, was based on ethnic identity. There were therefore no need to mention its practice in particular. We were Mandinka, Muslims, Congo, Christians, Yoruba, but we were absolutely not black or even African. So there was a feeling of brotherhood between members of the same group, or between Christians, or between Muslims, but certainly not between blacks or Africans. What it points to is the fact that all these groups were different. That's why when we say we sold our own brothers into slavery, no, we did not. We just were not hip to this whole situation, and we didn't see ourselves as one. We didn't see ourselves as what I'm saying we should see ourselves as, Africans, no matter where we are. We are Africans, but because of these divisions, because you felt that you know, you were Fulani, or you were Congo, or you were whatever, and you went to war with another. Number one, the wars for Africans did not totally wipe out the people. It wasn't designed to totally wipe out the people. It wasn't designed to extinction, to genocide. But some of those people were imprisoned. And then when the Europeans came with that idea, those brothers and sisters were given away or sold. Given the mentalities of the time, saying that blacks sold their brothers makes absolutely no sense. It should already be remembered that around 15 kingdoms and empires refusing to trade were demolished by the Portuguese. When they were refusing because of the superior weaponry that the Portuguese and the Spanish and the British particularly came with, they had guns. For the remaining states that traded humans with Europeans, the vast majority of the people they sold were captives from other ethnic nations. Therefore, absolutely did not sell their black brothers, but who they considered foreigners on the continent. A trader from one ethnic group absolutely did not see a person of another ethnic group as his black brother whom he sold, but as a foreigner with whom he had almost nothing in common, which was, of course, unfortunately not the truth. And then, of course, you had Arabs, and some Arabs were black. Where's that one cat who was notorious? Oh, man, I can't remember his name. But he was notorious as a slave trader, because the Arab trade was before the European trade. I don't even hate to use that word because it wasn't about trade. The Arab captivity and the European captivity. The Arab captivity was before, and it's still happening today. Brothers and sisters who were escaping, going up into the northern part of Africa, when they went up to Libya after the United States, England, and so forth, killed Muammar Gaddafi. Because Muammar Gaddafi, no greater friend. And I know Brother Ralph said some things about Gaddafi, and I understand that. But to me, towards the end, no greater friend to Africa than Muammar Gaddafi has the president of the African Union spending a lot of money to change the dynamics, trying to create a national bank, creating the African Union. That's why they had to kill him. That's why they had to kill Muammar Gaddafi. Not because he was a dictator dogging on his people. No. Because he was going to change the dynamics on the continent and put more control in the hands of African people about their land and their resources, and establishing a currency that would be used to buy the mineral wealth of Africa. Plantations in America. It was therefore by boat that Africans arrived in America. Oh, it's that time, huh? You know, let's take a break. Come back from the break. We'll continue this conversation. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us and get you on this conversation.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
sweating day.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com. Marvin Gaye's Trouble Man. Trouble Man. Good movie, too, brothers and sisters. And the Iceman, Jerry Butler, the Iceman, the Iceman's band. It's time. It's down to that. That's what it is, down to that. Let's continue the conversation. And you can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Okay. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I just did that.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah, I did. I did, brother. I can't believe I did. I erased the information that I was going to read. Oh, man.
Yeah, you did it.
I did, brother. Yes, I did. Let me try to find it again, man. Just be patient. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, brother.
Good.
You know, every breath I take, it becomes a valuable thing to me nowadays. You know, when I was a little boy, hey man, I didn't even think about breathing.
Right.
You know,
it was just
or
natural.
waking up, you know, and not feeling any pain.
Sure.
And, you know, just get up and go to the bathroom and put your clothes on around. Don't even wash up. Go outside, you know.
That's right.
And now, man, I'm in the mirror in my left leg. I get it moving, you know, I got to do an exercise to get it. But, you know, I really appreciate you going at it this morning, man. And, you know, it really made me be more aware of the differences in how we use language. I think I mentioned to you before, I used to do radio at WOL, but not very long. But, you know, so I'm very mindful of the way people discuss things. And you're an intellectual. You know, a lot of people don't give you credit for that. And by that, I'm saying you don't try to think like other people. You think like you want to think. And that's the way I think.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn. I mean, other people think what they think, and I respect that. But
sure.
They're not going to make me change. If I change, it's going to be because I want to change.
Right.
And I know you know exactly what I'm saying.
Sure, sure.
And so I listen to people on radio and not too many other people because my contacts just don't have that kind of intellect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, I really appreciate being able to listen to, you know, you were talking earlier about Black and African.
Yes.
I consider myself one of the original people.
Mm-hmm.
And I let it go with that. Wherever that ends me up.
Okay.
It's like, you know, if there's nothing further beyond original. You know what I mean? Man, it can be dispersed many different places. But if you take it to its root, it goes to the original or it don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I learned.
Right.
You know, now I have no problem with someone else, you know, considering themselves African or Saudi or whatever. That's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their right as well. But it doesn't make me think differently of myself and my children and what I taught them.
Mm-hmm.
And even their choices, they can choose to be what they want to consider themselves. But, you know, when you get to the essence of it, we're all original.
Right.
Us, our people, the ones that we call African, the ones that we call Black.
Exactly.
You can't go back further than the origin of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so white folks are a mutation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And my studies have proven that. That's not an insult. That's
a fact. Mm-hmm.
They are a mutation of, and that's why they're considered mankind.
Mm-hmm.
We're not considered mankind.
We're man.
We are the man. That's right, brother. And you know it, and I know it. Mm-hmm. And many others are becoming to know it. You know, when I was younger, people used to give me hell reading all the time. Goddamn, you always reading. And I'm saying, goddamn, you never read. You know.
No, hey, listen, especially in today's world.
Oh, man.
Man, they do not read.
They don't know what a book is.
Right.
They don't even know what the value of a book. In my living room, I consider it greater than any accumulation of wealth that I could have, and I don't have none. Mm-hmm. But I got books.
I got books. Me too, brother.
I got books. And so when I leave here, I've already given my children instructions, you know, disperse them among your brothers and siblings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty much all I'm going to have to leave with.
Exactly.
But at least it will be something, a foundation. And it's not different from what I've been teaching them, because as they grew, and I know you're familiar with this too, as they grew, you can't help but share with them. Mm-hmm. What you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've even shown them mistakes that I've made so that they won't make those mistakes.
Right.
You know, not that there's something wrong with me for making mistakes. It's like playing basketball. You know, you gotta miss a lot of them before you start hitting the center. Mm-hmm. You know? That's just the way life is. Yeah. You know, you don't do anything on the first try.
No, it takes practice.
That's right.
Repetition.
It's a saying. Yep. You know it.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
It's not perfect makes practice. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, but see the thing the thing on that though, Rick, is that, you know, does practice make perfect? If you're practicing something the wrong way, but perfect practice makes perfect. You know? That's what I used to teach the kids I used to work with when I was coaching football, you know. And mm-hmm. we're practicing something, but if we're practicing it the wrong way, your stance isn't right, or the way you're tilting, or you don't run the right hole, or you don't make the right block, but we're practicing and that's how we do, then know it's wrong. Perfect practice makes perfect. And so if you're doing things the right way, consistently, it becomes like a second nature to it, and you will continue to do that. Mm-hmm.
And it gives you an aspiration mm-hmm. when you recognize it.
Right.
You know, that is almost as important as accomplishment, is to aspire for something.
Sure.
Aspiring is probably even more satisfying than accomplishment
mm-hmm.
because you've got your mindset on something, you know, and you say, damn, it ain't nothing going to stop me, even death, you know, and you go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you accomplish it, you got nothing else to go after. That's why I made that statement. But you understand the context of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want you to know, man, I listen to you. You know, I don't call as often as I could, but I enjoy.
Well, I appreciate it when you do call, brother. But more importantly, I appreciate you listening. In fact, I had a lot of callers this past Friday. I had Brother Ayo Kamathi on, brother who called himself the Irritated Genie, who wrote a book. Who wrote a book, The Jews Are the Problem. Well, not the Jews. Jews Are the Problem. And we had a two-hour discussion on I didn't even have a break. Just wanted him to continue, and we took some calls. But Brother Kwaku, you know, my engineer, he mentioned the fact that we had many people listening. And then when he put it on the website, many people hit it, you know. So, you know, people are listening, and I appreciate that, you know. So even though they may not call in, but people are listening, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine the numbers that compared to who listens and who calls in is absolutely minuscule.
Sure.
Know? But that shouldn't be any discouragement for you. You just know that what you say has power to it. And then I say that because it's always, even if you don't fully agree with it, it's based in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between American media. You know, nothing is based in truth. It's all in commercialism.
Yeah.
They just want you to buy shit.
Yeah.
You know, and how are you going to buy if you don't have money?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can get money is you got to steal it from somebody, one way or another, either with your labor, you know, or your occupation,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they still pretty much the same. Our people didn't come from that. They didn't. We would go out, if we wanted to feed the family, we go out and plant something the year before. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how we knew our children were going to eat, because we made sure there was going to be a harvest for them. This society we live in is the exact opposite. You ain't got to do nothing but figure out how to steal. One way or another, yeah. If you can steal enough money, you can survive.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. It's a selfish society.
And it's a damn thing. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, brother. I don't want to take every time. You know, I just enjoy. I just want you to know.
Appreciate
I'm listening
you.
To you.
Appreciate
if you make a mistake, I'm going to tell you.
I heard that, Rick.
Hey, man, but if you hit it on the head, I'm going to die with you, you know.
Right on. Appreciate you, brother.
Okay,
all right. Thank
peace,
you.
Peace, brother.
Peace.
Yes, sir.
Plantations in America, it was therefore by boat that Africans arrived in America to be subjugated to the horrors of slavery. Yeah. Captivity. Their names were violently replaced by the names of Europeans. Children deported or born locally were torn from their parents to be sold separately. And again, the children came from parents who came from different regions of Africa. All of this ultimately meant that a very large portion of the people enslaved in America no longer knew what group and nation they came from. They just knew that they came from this continent that Europeans knew as Africa. Yeah. Add to this were the abominable prejudices built around their skin color to justify their captivity, and the treatment of tremendous violence that went with it. Thus, a sense of community and brotherhood based on African origins, their skin color, and their catastrophic treatment began to appear. And it is precisely on those three pillars that modern black identity was born. Yeah, man. Marcus Garvey and Pan-Africanism. It was at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century in America that Pan-Africanism was born. And one of the people you can talk about Pan-Africanism is, father of Pan-Africanism is Martin R. Delaney. And look up Martin R. Delaney. A lot of love and respect for Martin R. Delaney. Strong black man. In fact, he said, I thank God. I don't thank God for making me a man. I thank God for making me a black man. Ashe. The current through which would begin the liberation of the black world. In the face of extraordinary oppression, it was about uniting all black and African people to achieve freedom and justice. For Africans on the continent, violent colonization also brought to the country all the extraordinary racist thinking developed to justify our captivity. The same treatment, therefore, led to feelings of brotherhood there, too, in which it would have taken serious hold. And you know what Kwame Nkrumah tried to do. And others, Patrice Lumumba and Thomas Sankara and all the other great African leaders, faced with adversary of colonization and the thinking of white supremacy, which reduced them to the level of subhuman, Africans had to, as in America, define themselves as black and unite as such, embracing the objectives of Pan-Africanism across the Atlantic. The Jamaican Marcus Garvey, the most enigmatic figure of the Pan-African movement, will define more deeply the goals of the movement, a black people united under one God, one aim, and one destiny, who must build a powerful empire in Africa. In Africa, Garvey makes two new and critical points. The need for a common religion or culture to create a feeling of brotherhood amongst African people, amongst black people. The building of a great state in Africa to protect African people. That's right, the red, black, and the green. In Garvey, highlights of the need for common culture for African people. He who will never set foot on African soil. I think that's the deepest thing sad that Marcus Garvey never set foot. There was no more person who had love for Africa and understood it than Marcus Garvey. Even when he was told about Jamaica, he said, "What? I'm going to give up a continent for an island? No. Uh-uh. It's about Africa and the Universal Negro Improvement Association." Had that conference in New York in 1921, over 21,000 people. We can't get a damn 1,000 people to come to a conference. If Garvey highlights the need for a common culture for African people, he who will never set foot on African soil will not know how to build it, and is therefore to advance Pan-Africanist thought and fill its gaps that Sheikh Anshar Jop intervened. Jop, some pronounce it Diop. I heard to say this Jop, so whatever. Sheikh Anshar Jop arrived in Europe in the 1940s and evolved within the Pan-Africanist movement, influenced by Garvey, more than the immediate end of the brutal colonization against which he is committed. He has his eyes fixed on a long-term objective of Pan-Africanism. He therefore goes into search of his common root of African people that Marcus Garvey was looking for, identifying Kemetic civilization as African. That is the link, and he even said it to link this up. The pinnacle of African experience has the origin of many African people, and realizing that African people fundamentally share the same culture as that of Kemet. For Diop, it was around heritage of this civilization that will build the unity of African people. Following these two themes defined by Garvey, Jop and his followers knew and known as the African-centered movement arrived at the following conclusions. The feelings of brotherhood between Africans will be around the vitalist cult of the one God and the law, Ma'at, expressed in all cultural aspects of life. The single state will be a federal state bringing together all Africans, all the state of Africa, the United State of Africa, and whose institutional foundation will be Ma'at, ruled by Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, balance. Sheikh Anshar Jop staunch Pan-Africanist, revised by adding the Ankh across a flag of the red, black, and green that Garvey put up, the African symbol of life, the Ankh, symbolizing life which will continue as long as Ma'at is applied. The Ankh is the supreme symbol of thought and therefore of African identity. So when you see people with an Ankh on, the African symbol of life, Jop will then accept Kiswahili as a federal language of this future state while retaining the integrating of the cultures and linguistic specifics of each African people. Afrocentricity defines the basis of the identity community of all Africans and clearly advances the objectives of Pan-Africanism by proposing a concrete project. Today, should we still define ourselves as black? I say no, but hey. Except if you have isolated in the black community without media and little or no effect by white supremacy coming from captivity and colonialism, you have or will experience racism, whether it's insulting, illusions, microaggressions, paternalism, discrimination, seeing contempt or hatred clearly displayed in a Euro feeling of superiority, it will happen to you. The most total ambiguity of human aspects is only enjoyed by the minority. The rest of the world generally perceives us as the lowest of humans, even subhuman par excellence, while we are the civilizers of humanity. That's right, brothers and sisters. We are the civilizers of humanity. The fact of having been expelled from a history of civilization, our culture demanded or even demonized to the extreme. Our physique seen as the opposite of beauty. The current underdevelopment of Africa with its internal and external causes. All of this means that we often look at ourselves and are seen as inferior. Man, oh man, oh man. If we do not define ourselves as African and we turn all African-centered positivity to this identity, others will continue to define you as such and demean you, even destroy you mentally in their definition. You must positively embrace African identity before it is used against us. From the moment you come into contact with the rest of the world, neutrality on the subject is simply impossible. It is necessary to choose. As an African person or black people, we have a common origin, which is Africa, an original and common identity background, which is Ma'at. And we are attacked in the same way by European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. Black identity is still relevant. No, more importantly, African identity is most irrelevant. So yes, you have to be African to be strong in today's world, which is very aggressive. But above all, we have to persuade the objectives of Pan-Africanism and Afrocentricity to protect against sustainability and create a space of happiness for us. Well, I read that because that's what I believe. And I believe that based upon the people that I have read, the people that I believe in, those authors, those scholars, those men and women, sometimes they didn't have money, but what they had was a burning desire and a belief in us. They had no foundation money. They went and recaptured and reclaimed the history of our people and presented to us. I think of Drusilla Dungey Houston in 1926, when Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week. In 1926, she wrote a book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. In 1926, there were other great scholars who were researching and seeking out information. But she has a dynamic quote. She says, out of geology, anthropology, archaeology, and paleontology, as well as history, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our people can dare not refute. So how can a leadership point a way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? So how can these so-called leaders, since that time to this present, over damn near 100 years ago, 1926, two more years, 100 years ago, still, how can that so-called leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of our past? that brings Jesse and Sharpton, even King. Even King. Now, I love Dr. King, and King understood the connections. He went to Ghana. He talked with Nkrumah. But he was committed here to righting wrongs here. He was committed here to help us integrate into this system. Before he died, he told Harold Belafonte, "I just believe I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning building." Coming to the realization that there is no working with Caucasians. There is no working with Urugu. We kick their ass to the curb and close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves. Begin to love one another, trust one another, and build with one another. Here we have a continent with all the resources. We could do what's already been done in Abu Dhabi, in Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates. We could do that because of the amount of resources that we have. They don't allow Africans to come in even to work. They rather have Filipinos. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even the Africans that go up into what now is the chaos of Libya after the assassination of Muammar Gaddafi, those Africans are castrated and sent to the Arab world. We have challenges, family. Serious challenges. Anybody wants to get in this conversation? A lot of y'all left me. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. And I know some of you are on just to listen, and I appreciate that. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Just to listen, man. But it's important that we, you know, identify. You know, it's important that we identify. And I know that still today, a lot of us don't want to identify with us. A lot of us, I ain't talking about somebody outside of us. I'm talking about, I'm talking about those who are us. Don't want to identify with us. And oh, my brother. Good afternoon, Brother Paul. How you doing?
Baba Ochi, how are you today?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you?
You know, I have to give thanks for life. At the great fortune of seeing another day. The sun is shining at the moment, although it's very strange because it's alternating between wind and rain and then sun. So it's sending the message that life is about change. That's how right. I perceive it.
Yeah, I agree.
We've had in the period of 10 minutes, you've had
in 10 minutes
winds like it's going to blow over the house. And then you've had rain, tremendous rain, and then you have sun. So I gather from that, it is just trying to send a message that in wrapped in the fabric of life is change.
Sure. Yes, it is.
You know? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, okay. But I, for some reason, you're coming out low. I'm just trying to work out.
Okay. Yeah. So. Okay. So, can you hear me, Paul? Okay, he's off for right now. And Sister Habia, how you doing, dear sister?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, blessed, yeah. Enjoying your program today.
Thank you.
And I agree with you. Africa for the Africans, the home and abroad, and lifting ourselves up and fighting our fight. So I agree with that. I enjoyed the program Friday.
Yes.
And what did you think of, you know, in relation to what we're saying, when we were speaking with the brother about the irritated genie, he had some positive comments for Putin. And I think he said he thought he was one of the best freedom fighters he knows, and how we should work with how he felt that that he would be somebody who she could trust and work with in Africa. So I wanted to see how do you feel about that comment, if I understood them correctly from what I heard.
Well, there are many of our people who are in a revolutionary sense have sided with Russia because Russia did not interfere in African affairs. You know, Russia did not interfere with African affairs, and so Africa benefited so Africa did not, you know, Africa benefited from Russia being an assistance, along with Cuba being an assistance to the African movement. They provided weapons. Russians didn't come in and fight, but they provided armament and so forth. Cubans came in and also fought because there's a number of African Cubans. You know, I met some when I was in Cuba many years ago. Met some African Cubans who came in and went and fought in Angola, you know. But, yeah, I understand it. You know, I understand it. And of course, you know, Russia is always – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was saying
you understood.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to let you make the move. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just trying to clarify about, because you're saying that in when we're doing the battles that they were good, you know, allies in that respect. And I know that they did in Cuba, but I just was questioning the paradigm of how for us to, for our liberation, that we have to rely on Putin. And I think Mama Nabanta had asked the question about how there was some exploitation going on with that Russia would come along and to work with the Africans, but would attempt to take over the land and exploit the people, just like a lot of the other imperialist forces do.
Yeah. Well, just like with Russia, there are some paramilitary organizations out of Russia, like there's paramilitary organizations out of the United States that are in Africa with the express purpose of taking Africa's resources, providing protection and so forth, but just to take Africa's resources. So that paramilitary organization and its men, organizations, become rich. You know? So, and that's happening. Unfortunately, that's happening. And they need to go. All of them need to go, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I like what you said. You just want to see the Africans in there, not the Arabs, not the Chinese.
Right.
And I'm feeling that way about Putin, too.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yes, my sister, yes. The Russians, too. All of them need to go.
Right.
You know? So you know.
That's how I feel about that, too. And I was kind of just taken aback about it was just so much accolade to Putin. Mm-hmm. And you know that I think he was the number one person for our liberation, and that he would have said it about this other African, but for right now he said Putin is our way.
I didn't get that. Okay. Only thing that I got was something that I already knew in terms of Russia being of an assistance to African revolutions and African revolutionaries, particularly as it relates to weaponry. Russians didn't come in and fight, but they sold the weaponry so that whereby the Africans could fight, you know. So I don't know. I didn't hear that, you know, because to me.
Well, that was good that provided the weaponry.
Yeah.
Support that way. Okay.
But to me, the only people who should be fighting, and if you want to help, that's fine. You know, just like with the Cubans. The Cubans sent some brothers and sisters, because, you know, there's a lot of Africans in Cuba, you know, and sent those brothers and sisters to help fight in Angola and in the South, you know.
Yeah, Castro was a great freedom fighter, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He really was. He was like a friend of ours, so that was awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're friends, sister, and then they are protecting friends. And I look at Africans as protecting friends. I don't, you know, if we cool, yeah, and that's fine. We can do some trade, but in terms of my interests, I'm looking at other Africans. I don't look towards anybody outside of us to do what needs to be done for us. That's how I look at it.
I'm agreeing with you with that, my brother.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you can't establish and formulate friendships, mutual friendships, and do some things that way. But in terms of dealing with my land, my resources and so forth, I'm looking at those who are also of that land and who also can share with those resources. You know, that's it. That's how I look at it.
Strictly
Pan-African.
Pan-Africanism or perish.
That's right. Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. That's the model of this program. It's the motto of this program. Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. All right, my sister. Let me catch you.
Ashe. Bibi Fahodie.
Bibi Fahodie. Okay, brother. Okay. Brother Paul, you got it together now?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good. Sorry. I had a little bit of a technical problem. Yes, Baba Ochi. You know, let me just go along with some of the contributions. Baba Ochi, you know, I was listening on Friday to our brother, Irritated Genie.
Yes.
And I agree. I totally have to firstly say I have to commend his bravery for putting his head on the chopping block.
Yes. Yeah. You're right.
No. Mm-hmm. And I mean what I say, because these people we're up against are total and absolute psychopaths. And not only are they total and absolute psychopaths, they have perfected a killing machine. They kill people proper. This is not a hypothesis or some speculation. They target people in the open and they kill them. They go into governments, into countries, and they kill their leaders. Mm-hmm. What I find very strange is how they managed to get away with this. How they managed, because, you know, let's just say this. I've read a lot about the British, and that's what the British do. That's where they've learned this tactic from the British. Because they that's how they've managed to take over three quarters of the world, by going in there and taking over and killing people. Mm-hmm. And they learned that from the Romans. They perfected that. That's what the Romans did.
Right.
So the reality of this is, you know, I do commend his bravery. I hope there isn't some naivety in that. And I hope, you know my concerns of this, yeah? Brother Elliot plays, you know, I pay close attention.
Okay.
And one of the things our sister raises about his support for Putin, well, I used to say Putin's one of the smartest leaders on the planet. And I still stand by that.
Okay.
So to hear him, to hear our brothers talk about Putin in that kind of way, I'm on the same page as him.
Okay.
Look, we can talk all we want, and I hear so much talk. But what I don't hear really is any strategy. I hear, oh, you know, when you say something of truth, people get emotive. They get, oh, well, you can hear it in their voice. They get all upset when mm-hmm. you say something which touches them. And it's usually something which of truth, which they've ignored the elephant in the room because they don't want to deal with the truth. Look, if you ain't got no strategies, you ain't got no winning game. Baba Ochi, you're a coach, right? And I know what I say, you're not going to disagree with, because you know, as a coach, yeah, you can't send your team out there with no strategy. All my chatting rubbish.
That's right.
Am I talking rubbish?
No, Baba
Ochi, please tell the people.
You got to have a game plan.
Me, please.
You got to have a game plan.
Can you tell them for me?
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't got no game plan, you're wasting your time. And all I hear is prophecies and all kind of hypotheses and all kind of nonsense, man. But no game plan. You ain't got no game. I don't hear no game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to tell me what you are. I'm this, I'm that, and all these labels. But
that don't mean nothing.
Look. Yeah. The game plan is this. This is a game plan, right? I've just watched, right, open ear. These people use some serious weighted bombs, right, and destroy buildings, just crumble buildings with people in them, yeah? And I'm thinking to myself, what African country has got this kind of weaponry? Which one? Which one even knows about it or flies these kind of airplanes? They're getting these airplanes, right, from Britain, France, and America. Britain, France, and America is going to give no African country these type of technology, because if you give them them technology, they're going to be able to defend themselves. So the Africans have to build this technology. Now, I know 100,000,000%, no African country is building nothing like that. Yeah, so I'm just so sick of this rubbish we chat all the time, nonsense, like we're getting anywhere. If you ain't got the technology to match these devils, then you might as well just go back into slavery. Because these people are psychopaths. We're just watching it on our TV. We're watching it. We're watching them, right? Kill. Look, you know what, Baba Ochi? I ain't heard these women groups always shouting out loud, oh, men are this and men are that and men are this, yeah? We just watched these psychopaths kill women and children, and I don't hear none of their voices. None of them.
Mm.
How comes? Not one of them women groups, not one. Let me show you about human nature. Do you know why you don't hear none of them? Because they are petrified and they are sitting in their yard, in their kitchens, shutting their mouth because they're petrified. You see what violence does? Violence puts people, makes them close their mouth. When they're watching this, they're watching this psychopath kill women and children indiscriminately, and not one of them women's groups are saying nothing.
That's interesting.
Not
You're
one
right.
of them are saying, why are you
You're
killing
right.
these women? Why are you killing these children? Let me show you. So I'm just saying this. This is what I'm saying, Baba Ochi. Look, no one can come on here and chat rubbish about we're this and that and all these crap labels, right, and not come with any strategy. Because right now, right, they are showing us what they're prepared to do. And I haven't heard him say it, but I've heard other people say that he's coming for Africa. And I knew that a long time ago they're coming for Africa. And it's not that they're coming for Africa. They're really doing it. They're mm-hmm. doing it. He, that devil Netanyahu, tried to join the African Union.
Sure
you know
did.
Who his
sure
best
did.
Friend, you know who his best friend was, who he was using to get into the African Union? Do you know who it was?
No.
You know who it was, Baba Ochi?
No.
It was that blasted guy who was telling us, right, about come home. That guy in Ghana. telling us about
coming home.
I do
in Ghana, the president of Ghana.
That damn sellout telling us to come home, yeah? Him, that was his best friend. He was him and him was talking. He was the one he was using to try to get back in Africa. You know why he was telling us to come home? Okay, he wanted us to get us home, take our money, and get us killed. That's what he was trying to do. Yeah. You know that Adufu, you know who he is? You know who he is? He's the son of the they call him the Big 12. You know who the Big 12 are? The Big 12 are the group who overthrew Kwame Nkrumah. He's the son of that one of them. You know that? And people are talking, oh, we're going to go home, welcome home. Listen, I tell you, we don't think, Robert Obuchi. Yeah. We do not. We just get emotive. We have no strategy. We don't look at what's going on. And
we don't
tell me.
And we don't look deeply at the people involved and look at who and what they are and what their background is and who they're aligned with. We don't.
Right. Because you know why we don't? Because we don't have a unit, right, who's like, maybe like the Secret Service, who's looking at these devils, because all we hear them come and tell us about, oh, I'm going to build a bloody school, I'm going to build this, I'm going to build that, and we're not really looking at who we're dealing with. You understand? We don't know who sent them, and then we get all emotive when someone tells us some truth about them, like they're not doing as they say, or they're talking at two sides of their mouth, or they're talking with forked tongue, and someone gets all emotive. Oh, why are you saying this about the one I love? You know why we're like that, Baba Ochi? Because for 400 years, they had us on our knees praying to this
God.
This homosexual called Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they had, yeah? And I don't care who don't like it. They had us praying to this homosexual called Jesus Christ and some fiction called Muhammad. Right, and that's in our mind now. So we're still looking for this leader. We don't even recognize Baba Ochi. That the leader comes from inside. It comes from
inside
in yourself. So if you don't if you don't look in the mirror and know who you are, and you're looking for someone to come and save you, you're still stuck under their colonial plan. You ain't got nothing to say, really. Mm-hmm. You're just regurgitating nonsense. Right. And listen, at the time, I'm one of the youngest people who contribute here. But let me tell you this, the time we're at. We've passed all this sell-by date. We've passed it now, this nonsense talk. We've just watched what these people are prepared to do. So we need to start organizing effectively so that we can defend ourselves. Because if we can't defend ourselves, we're going back in chains.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen to us.
Yeah.
And these people are showing us what's going on. Yeah. So all the talk is, I'm this, I'm that. I'm like, that don't mean nothing anymore. It don't mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to strategize. The reason why I reach out, because I realize we gotta have, it doesn't matter whether you like me or I like you or not. That means nothing. We have to have a strategy for our defense. We have to have a strategy.
Yes.
Are we going to survive this?
Yes.
We're not going to survive.
Yes.
So let me just say this last thing. Anyone out there, anywhere you are on the planet, you can get as mad as you want or is motive. You can get upset by what I say as much as you want to say, but ain't going to change the reality.
That's right.
Coming down the pipeline. Ain't going to change it. They have no love for us. No love for us. When they came to Africa, they didn't build no castles.
Listen.
You know, they didn't build no castles.
Right.
They built prisons for us, and they're still building prisons for us to this day. You know, in that guy in Sierra Leone, right? What's his name? Paul, whatever his name, Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone.
Where they had that civil war. They had a civil war down there.
Okay.
They arrested that president, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You know that, I forget his name, Paul, whatever his name is.
Well, that's Paul Kagame.
Not Sierra Leone.
Okay, Paul Kagame.
Sierra Leone.
Yes.
No,
you're talking about
Leone.
The Hutus
Sorry,
and Tutsis. Right.
No. Sorry, Bolsha. I made a mistake.
Right.
I'm talking about what was that African country which America had?
Right.
The African country where the American enslaved could go back to.
Right. Well, one of course was Ghana, but
No. It still had the American flag.
Liberia. Liberia.
Liberia. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That president there,
mm-hmm.
Paul, whatever his name was. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know that man? You know when they arrested him? You know where he is? You know where he is? I live in South London. Do you know that man is in prison in Southeast London? Do you know that?
Mm-mm.
He's in a maximum security prison in Southeast London. Now, you tell me something. how is it that an African president is sitting in a prison in Southeast London, just over the water from where I'm at? He's about 5 miles away from where I'm at. He's in that prison, yeah? This is what they do to us, yeah? They took him to The Hague, and now he sits in London in a prison. And you don't even know that. Most Africans in America don't even know that. That African president sits in a prison, a high-security prison, in London, Southeast London, yeah? This is how they do us. I mean, how is it an African president even sitting in a prison in London? You know who else is sitting in there? You know this white man called Julian Assange?
Julian Assange, yes.
Yeah, he's sitting in the same prison, that maximum security prison. Yeah. Being deported to. Look,
right.
I'm just showing you what's going on in this world, yeah? The reality of this situation is, if we haven't got a strategy...
Right. If you don't have a game plan, if you don't have discussions and figure out a game plan, your ass is doomed.
Right. And we need a serious... This ain't no play game anymore.
Right.
Look, I'm gonna last thing I'm gonna say. This is the time, right, as men, that we're gonna have to define who's the strongest among us. And if it means that some people have to be taken out, we're gonna have to define among men who is the strongest among us. Because we need strong now. We don't need no weak people. We don't need no talking people. Mm-hmm. We need strong people to stand up to these devils.
Right on.
That's what we need.
I said.
Last thing I'm saying.
All right, Brother Paul. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Yeah. All right, family. That time is, once again, my time is up. But I appreciate all those who listened, all those who called in, all those who, and I hope you call in this Wednesday or listen this Wednesday. I got a brother who's running for president, Ricardo, my man, who's running for president of South Africa. So it's going to be interesting conversation. So. Till then, we end this program, family, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Be safe, family. Peace.